Well, good morning, everybody, and Happy New Year. That sun is brutal right there. Mr. Moore is not here, and I haven't heard from him this morning, and I hope everything's okay. And maybe he just had a memory lapse or something. I'm not sure. But we'll go ahead and get the Finance Committee started. With that, I would ask for a roll call. Ms. Glasper? Mr. Goggins, Mr. Pollard, I can't see anybody else out there. Do we have any public comment?
Tom, I think after public comment, I think Tony wants to talk about something.
We need to move this.
Okay.
He wants to speak first because he has a meeting.
Okay, no problem. Seeing no public comment, I would entertain a motion to approve the December minutes. Would you like to make a motion? Would you like to amend the minutes? Do you have a proposed amendment? I'm sorry.
Mr. Goddard.
I don't do verbatim on committee minutes. A lot of it is reflected to the audio. I just do a summarization when it comes to big presentations like that.
And I think what we could do is reflect Mr. Chapman's comments in the public comment section of this meeting. So thank you for that suggestion. I believe that unless there's an objection, I believe Tony Furman would like to address the committee. I think he has another engagement, and we'd like to hear from him if we could, unless there's an objection.
So under new business,
yes, sir.
There's the National Association of Work Boards Conference. This is a fairly substantial amount of expenditures, but the procurement people tell me it does not need a resolution because it's split between different entities that we're paying. But I wanted to bring this. I brought it before grants Monday night and wanted to bring it before this committee today on the front side as opposed to the back side. So the National Association of Workforce Boards is a national organization for all the local workforce boards throughout the country. There's 22 local workforce boards in Illinois and then a state workforce board. Historically, the Employment and Training Department had belonged to this organization. In the last couple years, in the switchover of administration, we'd fallen away. We've rejoined. The business members of our board were very strong in saying this was a conference that we wanted to attend. So that's sort of the what. All the funding, like everything we do in employment and training, comes from the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Fund, so there's no county funds involved. These are allowable costs, so we're not going to come back on the backside and say they're disallowed costs that the county needs to pay for because we attended this conference. Conference is in Washington, March 23rd through 26th. So the people who would attend are myself, Sarah Lario, who is my work-based learning coordinator. She deals with all the businesses in the area. And then two of our board members, Paul Wellhausen, who is the vice president at FC Lewis and Clark, the barge company, and then Rosemarie Brown, who is the president of the Southwestern Madison County Chamber in Granite City. And the why that the four of us would be attending, I gave you all a document there called Building Blocks for Success, Your Choice, Your Career, Your Future. This is a project we're working on currently, and the four of us are the ones working on it. It is a video that addresses a major issue with individuals entering the workforce, which is a lack of soft skills. We hear from either the people at U.S. Steel in Granite City or the person who owns a local McDonald's that the issues are the same. People do not show up on time, do not show up consistently. When they come in, they don't want to work. We've reached out to, as you look at the list, some pretty substantial individuals in our areas to help us with this filming. We've identified the top 10 soft skills deficiencies, and those are the 10 that we're working on. The other part of this, if you look at the opening, the person who has filmed the opening for us is Ronald Painter, who is president of this national organization. So we continue to work on this video, but the plan is to have it done in February. Their vision at this national conference is to be showing this like in the lobbies and during different sessions and breaks and everything. That way everybody can see it. So it's really an opportunity for Madison County in our local area to get some national recognition. Whenever we tell anybody we're doing this, they talk about what a great idea it is and how it'll be used. We've already reached out to the Regional Office of Education. They have a plan to share it with all the high schools. We will share it with all these businesses that are involved in this and anybody else who's interested in it. So, again, I've been told that we don't need a resolution if finance would like to see a resolution, because the bottom line is for the four of us to attend, it's going to be roughly $10,000, give or take a few bucks, with the conference fees, the flight, the lodging. And I've worked with Jennifer, wherever she is, started working out some of the details to make sure we have things right. So I appreciate Jennifer's help. She just was in the wrong place at the wrong time the other day. So, Rick?
No county funds are spent.
No, it's all federal, the federal workforce money that flows through. So my question to the finance is, would you prefer a resolution? If you would, we'll be glad to bring it back next month if you're comfortable with it as is. We'd like to move forward making our reservations for the conference
that
and the flight.
That sun is really bad. I apologize.
No, that's fine.
It's like right there in the what's the pleasure of the committee? Would we like a resolution, or have we had enough information to It sounds like a good conference to me. I think, $10,000 is $10,000, but sometimes it's money well spent. And it sounds like, you've got a good contingent of folks going, and sounds to me like, very worthwhile.
Right. Well, I appreciate your support, so we will move forward then. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Glasper? Okay, have we had a chance to review the purchasing approvals?
Do you want me to go through those?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman. Purchasing approvals for January 2019, I'll just go through them quickly. We have with the County Board, the United Counties Council of Illinois 2019 dues for $5,000. With the County Clerk, we have 24,797 ballots from Election System Software for $8,678.95. With employment and training, we have 18 Lenovo Think Center computers and 15 Lenovo Think Center computers from Lenovo for $21,654. With employment and training, we have 33 Microsoft Office 2019 licenses with CDWG for $8,166.18. That's a state contract. And with the Highway Department, we have 6 architecture, engineering, construction, collection, government subscriptions with DLT Solutions for $6,191.70. With the Information Technology Department, we have VMware maintenance renewal with SHI for $23,116.67. And with the Probation Detention Home, we have 31 Lenovo Think Center desktop computers for $18,693. And with Probation Detention, we have 31 Microsoft Office 2019 licenses from CDWG for $7,671.26. That's a state contract. And that's all the purchasing approvals, Chairman.
Are there any questions on the purchasing approvals? Could I have a motion to approve? Motion by Ms. Glasper. Second, Mr. Goggin. Ms. Glasper?
Yes.
Mr. Guy?
Yes.
Mr. Goggin?
Yes.
Mr. Pollard?
Yes.
I vote aye.
And, Chairman, for January 2019, we have the purchasing resolutions here. Starting with 911, we have a resolution to extend the current AT&T hosted 911 service agreement for a 12-month period, and that is for $283,200. With the special service area, we have a resolution to purchase one new 2018 Ford F-150 crew cab replacement vehicle from Morrow Brothers Ford for $32,490. And with the state's attorney's office, we have a resolution authorizing participation in the service program of the Office of the State's Attorney's Appellate Prosecutor for FY 2019, and that's for $36,000. And that's all the purchasing resolutions, Chairman.
Are there any questions on the purchasing resolutions? Mr. Goggin.
I just had a comment on the crew cab, on the truck for the special service area.
Yep.
We ended up getting this with state pricing. And we attempted to actually go out for bids on it, hopefully trying to get a local vendor to bid on it. And a local vendor did, but they didn't get it in time. So we couldn't accept the bid, but it was actually lower, and lower than the state contract. And this is just one vehicle with special service area, but we buy a lot of vehicles in the county, and I wonder if it wouldn't be worth going out for bid when we buy vehicles, because I think it could save us some money rather than just accepting the state contract and paying. I mean, it was like $1,000 lower, but
yeah.
A ton, but you know, it multiplies.
I think it's a good point. I think we assume that the state contract is lower, but if that in fact is not the case, was an identical vehicle? Interesting. Yeah. Linda, do you have a comment?
Hey, Linda, can you speak in the microphone just so we can get it recorded?
I contacted Weber and talked to Russ. He's in charge of the commercial state contract vehicles, and he said he did not submit a bid because someone had said that they sent one in, and I contacted to see if they could do the tracking to find out where exactly the package was, if it did in fact come here to Madison County to another office by mistake or what happened, but they said they did not submit a bid.
Are there any other questions or comments? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve.
So move.
Motion by Mr. Guy.
Second.
Second, Mr. Goggin. Ms. Glasper?
Yes.
Mr. Guy?
Yes.
Mr. Goggin?
Yes.
Mr. Pollard? I vote aye. We have the claims and transfers report.
I do, Mr. Chairman. The claims and transfers report revised for November and December 2018, and I move for your approval on that. You want to bring the other stuff in, too?
Yes, please do.
Okay. I did just want to make note that on the transfers report, there's a $2.5 million transfer from the general fund to the capital projects fund.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. So is that... Do we have to do that, so my question about that is once we transfer that from the general fund to capital projects, it pretty much has to stay there, right?
It would stay there unless you would choose to transfer it back.
Well, we can transfer it back.
I mean, if you would choose to do that, yes.
Okay. I'm just curious, yeah, because we just kind of got, and I'm assuming that's for the jail.
Yes.
Do we? Okay.
Jennifer, does the reappropriations, as far as doing reappropriations, from your calculus, does it affect the the capital projects transfer number, or basically what the idea was, the surplus from last year, you're moving over to capital projects.
basically, because of the unspent budget from the 2018 budgets, based on the revenues now that we've received for 2018. If we make a transfer of the $2.5 million, the general fund would have a deficit of $347,309 for the year, but it would still leave a fund balance undesignated of $23.4 million. So at this point then, since what has been underspent, we're considering transferring to the general fund or to the capital project fund, anything that's reappropriated would add to a deficit for next year.
Wouldn't it make more sense to do reappropriations and get, because I know we're kind of a month behind as far as some of the months we get some of this done in December, but we're doing it in January this year. Wouldn't it make sense to get the reappropriations finalized and then deal with the surplus money afterwards and maybe do the capital projects transfer next month?
I mean, you could choose to wait on that, but the fact is that transferring that $2.5 million to capital projects will cover the projects that are already budgeted in 2019 for capital projects.
But there's no cash reason to get it moved over this month. It could be moved next month and be just fine. The reappropriations from your calculus will affect that number. And I think having, this is my opinion, having a month to discuss it and talk about it, I would wait for the capital projects transfer to next month so that we could get reappropriations done, because departments are asking for reappropriations, and that will affect the surplus from last year's budget. So after reappropriations are approved or not approved, then we can go next month and do the capital projects fund transfer, because I think everybody wants to see, you know, the capital projects funded, but I think we're not doing it in the right order.
Well, I mean, if you choose to wait, that's the committee's prerogative, but I guess keep in mind that anything you're voting on to reappropriate would be potentially decreasing the number available to transfer, and I guess it's up to them to prioritize what you need to fund.
Of surplus from last year.
Would you restate that, what you just said? I'm sorry.
What I was saying was that any of the amounts that the committee chooses to reappropriate in the general fund to next year's budget would affect the amount available to transfer to the capital project fund.
From surplus from 2018.
From surplus, right.
So you're saying right now with these transfers, there's around a little more than $2.5 million of surplus from 2018 that you'd like to transfer in the capital projects, and if we reappropriate, that will affect that number of surplus from 2018. But that's not taking into account, you know, money that's in the general fund currently and so forth. So the point being that reappropriations are usually dealt with, you know, in December. Then we see what we have, and then we look at our surplus in 2018. We can transfer that money. I'm just saying you're doing the transfer before reappropriation, so your number as far as your surplus from 2018 is
them in conjunction with.
Well, the order at which it's happened in the past, reappropriations happened first, and just so we know what the surplus from 2018 is going to be to transfer.
The surplus to the general fund budget was $1.8 million for 2018. Or that's what was unspent in the general fund. So the reappropriation requests for the general fund are $585,874. So if that amount were fully approved, that reappropriation request, that would decrease the amount available to transfer to the capital project fund.
Yeah, of just
adding
surplus.
Adding to the deficit to the general fund.
Of just of surplus money. The deficit to the general fund, I think, is a little bit of a red herring in that moving money from the general fund to the capital projects fund is still money in the county, depending on how you want to spend it.
Money in the county, but it's not money in the general fund.
So given the policy in the county is for reappropriations, to get a more accurate number, I think reappropriations should happen first, and I'm putting that out there because after you transfer this money, you're essentially saying you can't do reappropriations.
I guess my point is, are all the reappropriations truly needed?
That's why we need to do reappropriations first.
What exactly are the reappropriations for? Define that first.
Right. That's exactly why you would do reappropriations first, so you could have a dialogue over reappropriations and determine if you needed them first before you made it a fait accompli by making the transfer. That's why you need to do them first. Well, because, Rick, as we got the information basically yesterday morning, so the point is I want to work with Jennifer and I want to work with everyone. The reappropriation should be done first. They're in policy at the county, and they will affect other decisions.
You did not get that information yesterday morning. It was provided to you Friday before the agenda went out. It's also provided to the chair.
I received it late Monday, Jennifer. So I'll tell you, anyways, to prevent a fait accompli of making a transfer, the not being able to do reappropriations, there are departments that want to do reappropriations. There are departments here right now that would like to do them. So you would do, and not to be argumentative anymore, the reappropriations should be done, and the validity of those reappropriations should be discussed by the committee before you transfer the money away.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. I've been in discussion with Mr. Hume about reappropriation of some funds so that we could do a fee study for the recorder of deeds office, which is very important to us moving forward given new state laws that came into effect on January 1st. Also understand that there's some reappropriation that needs to be happening for animal control to do a fee study. As chairman of the Tax Cycle Committee, that's one of the reasons that I'm here today, is to ensure that at least that gets done for my committee so that we can move forward and get up to snuff with the new state law. So that's a question I have, a humble question I have, if that's going to be taken care of today or not.
Well, Mr. Chapman, the cost study or the fee study is proceeding forward, and they have reached out to different departments to see if other departments could piggyback onto this maybe to lower our cost. Right now, animal control and the recorder's office are the ones that have stepped in to determine that they would like a cost study done. And I think I don't know if we heard back from the sheriff's department yet, and I think the county clerk says it was done recently and not needed right now.
Yes, sir.
But so
I'm hopefully seen in the good spirit here. I'm just wanting to make sure something doesn't get overlooked so that we can proceed with an important issue in the Tax Cycle Committee.
Right.
That's all, sir.
It's not being overlooked. It's moving forward. The money for it, as Mr. Yu mentioned last month, actually he has some money being set aside. He's asking for a reappropriation amount to cover the cost, although we don't know the total cost now.
And what I'm concerned about is if we do a capital projects transfer right now, that would mean that reappropriation might not happen. So I would wait till next month to do a capital projects transfer just so we can take A before B and B before C.
Well, can we hold off on the vote for the claims and transfers until after we talk about reappropriations? Does that make sense? I apologize, everyone, the committee, for the disruption. And Mr. McCray, thank you for stepping up and kicking the meeting off. Appreciate that. Okay, any more questions on claims and transfer report? And we'll hold off on the vote that until we talk about reappropriations, item number 8. Okay, next item, number 7, year-end immediate emergency appropriation resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I assume that everybody has this document in front of them. For your observance, I'm submitting to you the immediate emergency appropriations from 2018 over. The total of all funds is $1,199,156. Are there any questions on the immediate emergency appropriations?
I do have some, Pastor. Just to kind of set the groundwork here, these are budgets that in FY18 exceeded their budget, and we need to replenish our accounts with these amounts to make them balanced. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I just have one quick question, and just excuse me for not knowing. On the immediate emergency appropriation and the equity transfers, there's both money going to the Victims Assistance Grant. On the equity transfer, it's $18,456.60. And on the immediate emergency appropriations, $6,968. So I'm assuming they're getting more money from two different places going to the same fund. Or maybe you can explain that, Jennifer. I'm assuming that's the state's attorney's victims assistance grant, which is funded by a state grant, and that funds a job in the state's attorney's office. And when we go through budgeting, that's usually been sold as being state-funded and supported by the state. And I guess I have two questions. Is that job up there not fully supported by the state, which I don't think it is? And then the other thing is, why is it on two different sheets? Maybe I'm missing something.
Yes. Okay. The immediate emergency appropriation is requesting to increase the budget essentially to match what they spent. The transfer is to cover what the grant funds aren't covering of the grant, which is benefits.
So I have a question about, so there are several grants, since you bring that up. So are we to assume that we get all of these grants are not fully funded and we're transferring?
No, that's not the case with all of those grants.
Okay.
Okay, so the grants they're kind of self-funded. We're not using taxpayer dollar to cover these differences or shortages here. Is that correct?
The transfer from the general fund to the state's attorney would be?
In that instance, that is general fund money going to support the victims assistance grant. But that's in the equity transfers that we've held off. But that's just an FYI. On your other ones here, that's not the case. Necessarily the case. The general fund would be the ones under general fund.
I have a question. So the $644,000 for IMRF, is that to meet last year's current obligations?
It's to meet the FY 2018.
Okay.
Right.
Do we know what a percentage of funding is for IMRF in the county? Is that something? If you don't have that, we could get that from IMRF.
The fund balance, you mean, for the IMRF?
If we're at 90% funded, 85%, what our unfunded liabilities are?
Oh, IMRF is really high, yeah. Go ahead and you answer.
No, you're saying the actual IMRF fund plan or the
county?
For
our county, how much our debt is, our unfunded liabilities for the county. So is it 1 million, 2
I guess,
million?
Are you referring to a pension liability that's calculated by the IMRF actuarials?
Correct.
Okay. Now, I don't have that information with me right now, but it is published in the CAFR. When the actuarial report is completed at year end, so you could find that in the CAFR online. Okay.
Chris Guy, I think IMRF is well over 90% the last time I looked. It's doing pretty well. As far as what the county owes, this would be a new amount. We've done a lot to reduce our obligations to IMRF, going so far as with the treasurer's help and Rick's help to pay down some previous obligations that are saving us about 7.5% a year. So I think the committee can be congratulated for that.
Part of that appropriation is due to one of the large payments that was made last December to pay down the enhancement.
ECHO.
So
getting back to my understanding on these, if I could, the general ledger is going to fund everything from the first item, EMA admin, down to state's attorney's automation. Is that correct? And the grants are not being funded with taxpayer dollars? Starting with victims assistance grant?
So the general fund, EMA, education, and jail, those appropriations are for overages will be coming from the general fund balance to cover overages. The funds that are listed as special revenue funds, each of those funds has its own individual fund and its own revenue source that is being used to fund those overages.
Okay. So,
and likewise with the internal service.
Just to get an understanding here, is there anyone from EMA here? Okay. My question would be, why did you overspend by $9,835? It may not seem like a lot, but to me, you're given a budget that's approved with limited funds, given a budget approved by taxpayers to give us that money and for the Finance Committee in the past to agree that you could spend up to a certain amount. Why would you exceed that without going and asking for permission to exceed that or getting funds prior to that? Now, there may be reasons, but every time I see a budget that exceeds what they were given and they have to come in the next fiscal year and ask for additional money to cover that difference, to me, I think we can tighten the ship up a little bit. Now, I'm not trying to be harsh, but that's just the way I see budgets. You're given a certain amount to spend. If you need more, ask for it. If you don't spend it all, give it back. The Finance Committee approved that budget last year for you to spend up to a certain amount. If you exceed that, you're in the wrong. Whoever is the department head or director is responsible for everything that goes right and wrong within that department. I do not like to see general ledger funding for next fiscal year to cover expenses that were exceeded prior year. Now, that's just my personal take, and the committee has their own thoughts on this, too. But I just wanted to make a point about that. If the other amounts down below for emergency appropriation are covered with grant money, I have a better understanding how that works now, and I'm kind of okay with those. But the general ledger being drawn on to cover differences, and it's everybody. It's not just department heads. Mr. Hume, you're responsible for other department heads, too.
Sure.
If you see that happening, you know, we need to address this.
Sure.
I don't care if it's a penny over. You can't exceed your budget. Now, I mentioned before about a mid-year review, and I think sort of that may have happened last year, not in the same definition that I would call it, but I think that needs to happen. And what that is, if you're going into the year, nobody knows how much you're going to spend beginning of the year or previous year to project for the next year. We understand that. But we have a mid-year review that we could have to help make ends meet. And again, to reiterate, if you need money for things, you can ask for it and receive it and not exceed your budget. To me, that's breaking the law. And if you have excess funds in your budget, you can give them up to somebody else who may need them. Yes, sir.
Chairman, keep in mind that we do have quarterly reports that tells us right where we're at with all the departments. So that's submitted quarterly.
Okay. I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill, but when we get to the end of the year, we have budgets that exceed what they were given. I see a problem. I see a flag, and I just want to make a point of it. Yes, Mr. Chapman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I agree wholeheartedly with you, and I might raise this issue in terms of a systems approach. If this is happening in more than one place, I guess my question is, what's the protocol if you want to overspend your budget? I mean, who's running things? I mean, it seems to me like everybody's got a boss. Our boss is the people, and they expect us to stay within budget. So I'm not exactly sure how it works, how people report to Mr. Hume, but if people are overspending without his knowledge, that seems unacceptable to me personally.
Can I say real something quickly, Chairman? For instance, at the jail needs additional funds. But I'm sympathetic to the jail in this sense that we have a lot of people in the jail. I know a few days ago it was 355. And as the sheriff talks about, you know, he's just in charge of the bathtub, not what goes in, what comes out. It really, in that instance, it takes a real comprehensive approach of everyone working together. And I know we've talked about this for a long time, about how do we manage the population of the jail. But certainly when you put more people in the jail, the costs go up. Your utilities, the groceries, the overtime, the comp time. And then they're coming back here asking for more money. I would just bring that to this committee. I know we're going to meet with Judge Hilla and hopefully Judge Tagnarelli to talk about that again, about what we can do. But when we have a massive amount of people in the jail, it definitely does cost. And so I'm sympathetic to the sheriff in that sense, that they come back and have to ask for money.
I think we're all sympathetic, but dollars are finite.
If I can add that, Mr. Moore, we're not breaking the law by spending more in our budget, first of all. I somewhat disagree with that type of statement. We're breaking the law when we don't provide medical care to our prisoners. And we can't control the amount of people. We can't control what their health care is. So sometimes there are costs that we don't budget for because we're not anticipating that. But we are not breaking the law because we spent a penny more than our budget.
Okay. I
have nothing further.
I have something further. And I agree with most of that. But you need to communicate with the administration.
We do communicate with the administration. We've adjusted the budget for this year.
Hold on.
We've communicated through the
Major,
year.
Through you the said year, you had nothing else. Hold on. I just want to make a point, too, that you need to communicate that with the administration and then ask for the money, and then if you can't get it, you can't get it. Move it within your own budget. You have pretty large budgets that maybe there's wiggle room in there. Now, I'm not saying that's a solution, but we need to work together to come to a solution. And I disagree that at the end of the fiscal year, if you exceed your budget, regardless of what you need the money for, if you exceed your budget, and maybe breaking a law, maybe it's breaking a regulation or Illinois statute,
that might be
more accurate.
That's more accurate.
But I'm trying to make a point about keeping people within their budget. If you need help, come and ask for it, and we'll work together to get it done.
Okay, if I can talk now. We have talked to the administration. We are making adjustments.
Well, I'd also say it's not just the sheriff or the administration here. Again, I can't tell the court system what to do. I can't tell the state's attorney or the public defender. And I'm sure they're sick of hearing from me. The point is we do have crime out there, and people are going to go to jail, particularly on holidays and in the summertime. But we all need to be on board, because ultimately decisions being made and how things are processed at the courthouse do affect the number of folks visiting the jail and how we have to pay for it. So I think it's just something that I think it's going to take another level of attention from everyone to help drive that cost down, because I certainly know the chairman and I on our own, we can't do it, and I don't think the major and the sheriff can do it on their own. We need everybody on board there.
Ms. Fasson?
Yeah, Don, down through the years, this has been not a problem, but the reporting we get from the sheriff and Jeff is always very accurate. It's just difficult. You can't determine at the beginning of the year what your grocery bill is going to be at the end of the year. And it's the same thing with the administration of utilities. But the sheriff and Connors are doing an excellent job of telling us where we're at and what's going on. It's just that you can't set a budget for that, because you know, you don't know what groceries are going to be or where utilities are going to be at. So we're comfortable with what the reporting is coming out of the sheriff's department. It's just one of those things that, you know, you don't have much choice in the situation.
Great. And I had the opportunity to talk to Judge Tognarelli about the situation the day over there, sitting in the courtroom and talking to him. And he explained it, and that my idea was try to find out more about what we can do to lower jail population. Well, it's not easy, of course. But he said that no matter how many cases they process a day, if he processes 20 cases a day, the next morning there's going to be 30 new ones on his desk. Now, that's sort of a reality. I think that's a reason, but you know what? To be blunt, then you got to process more cases. Come in earlier, work later or something like that is my suggestion. But I do know it's not an easy situation, but I think there can be improvements made. And I would also say this is really not the Finance Committee's issue here, except when you exceed budgets. But we have a Judiciary Committee, and I mentioned that the other day. They have responsibility for liaison with the Sheriff's Department and other public safety areas. And I would ask them to engage in this and come up with, you know, put an ad hoc committee together and see if they can come up with any ideas that maybe we could see if it works. If everybody agrees on it, see if we can make some improvements and lower the jail population to help decrease costs.
Chairman, this is my last little statement on this, because it's a big issue. I want to really say that our relationship with the detention home and probation has been excellent. Dealing with Craig Cooper, who has started having electronic monitoring again. It's something the county went away from. It's a tool to get people out of the jail. And although we have a small pilot program going that's working great, it's stuff like that that allows the judges to get folks out of the jail to be monitored to ensure public safety is an excellent way of saving money. On top of that, law changes have happened in Illinois that allow for non-monetary bail. Monetary bail should not prevent people from leaving the jail. That's the idea in Illinois. In other counties, they've embraced that. And I'm not saying to the extent of how we should embrace that, but I think the last time I looked, only 6 people in the jail could not bail out legally. So certainly we don't want – there's folks that should not leave that jail. But certainly there's folks that have the ability under Illinois state law to leave. It just is how we're going to implement a big law change. And I think that needs to be looked at. What do we – what do we want to do there? Because 355 people in the jail is too many people, and as Dr. Chapman spoke about last year, as far as the health of our officers and the jail itself and the costs, these costs and overworking our folks, and the potential of accidents, lawsuits, it's very important we operate it under what that jail was designed to operate at.
Mr. Chairman, could we move the meeting along? Chris, yeah, and I both have to get to work.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's a good idea. Apologize for carrying on that, but I thought it was important to talk about this morning. Okay, do we want to, the committee okay with taking a vote on this emergency appropriation and go back to the transfers and claims and vote on that? How do we feel?
Reappropriations are next after that.
Okay, as I was. Reappropriations. Okay, I have some questions on this, so if you gentlemen need to leave, I don't know what we're going to do, but I'll try to be quick. I haven't seen the policy yet. I've asked for it. I haven't seen it. I can't find it. Concerning 50% of the money that you don't spend at the end of the fiscal year, you can have that returned to you. The way I look at it, you can have it returned. It's not required, but 50%. I see a lot of requests on here for 100%. My proposal, my voice equal to one voice out there, so it's just, I'm thinking anybody that asks for 100%, I'm saying no. I know there's some people that are hurting it. The museum and the recorder's office, who no fault of her own wasn't able to spend $25,000 last year, asking for that full $25,000 back this year. I'm saying that anybody who had money left over, we give them 50% back down the line. Nobody's looked at it any differently. Again, that can come up later. If they need money for something, we can address that mid-year review or the quarter, as Mr. Fassin mentions, also looked at. So my thoughts are 50% down the line for all these requests.
Chairman, can I quickly mention?
One addition. If somebody asks for less than 50%, give them the lesser amount of 12%.
I would agree with that, Chairman, except that in a couple instances, and, no one likes exceptions, but I'm just, they happen to happen. As you know, the museum had a huge cut to their budget, and it has been an issue as far as their operations in the future. I would ask for the full 100% for the museum, because it will impact their operations. They took a significant cut of, I don't know, a third at least, to their budget. And this money is going to be very wisely used to maintain a curator and to have minimal function over there to actually get things done. I would also ask Mark Gravillo on his requests as far as reappropriations. Do you need the whole 100%?
I did not see that document, but anything that we are requesting reappropriating has already been approved for purchase. It's just that we have not paid out invoices based on those resolutions. So everything in the highway department, from the matching, county bridge, county highway, those all need to be 100%.
I would not mess with that. I would reappropriate the whole amount, because those are projects, and those are what Mark's doing is multi-year. And some things get delayed and so forth through fiscal years.
Just before we move on, the highway department, I see one request here for $1.18 million, and the bridge for $3.5 million, and the matching tax, is that also yours?
Yes.
It's for $3.6 million. MTF, that's yours also. Motor fuel tax.
MFT. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, that's for 6.2. So you're saying that you have to have those monies because they have already been expended, just not expensed?
Yes. We've already taken resolutions to appropriate those monies for projects or materials, and it just hasn't been.
Okay. My thoughts are, committee, is personally to exempt those for the reason just mentioned that I wasn't aware of, and the museum one, what do we want to do about that, or other items on here? Mr. Goggin?
I think that quarters.
I'm on the chairman of the IT committee, and this is being requested. They're asking for 58% of it because they had a headcount removed. It was a person they already hired, okay, and the travel budget was slashed down to essentially nothing. So I think Rob is going to be here to address. Okay. This is legit. The budget was slashed, at the last minute.
Okay, your point is to give them 58%, not slashing 50. Okay, anyone else have? Well, I'm being, for example, the highway department saying that they've already spent the money. Are you saying still give them 50%?
No. I mean, I think they know more about where they're
Okay, all right. He doesn't want the cut. How about the museum? That was mentioned by Mr. Hume. I mentioned them. I know they're hurting, but do we give them? It's not that much, but still.
Mr. Chairman?
Hold on, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Cray, any thoughts on this?
I would concur with the museum. I think they're asking for $15,000, and they were cut pretty significantly. I don't think that's I would say that's, you know.
They're trying to make it work this year and make some big changes, so, you know.
Okay. Ms. Glasper, you have any comments on? All right. Thank you. Ms. Fassi.
Yes.
Oh, Ms. Meyer?
Chairman, we had a long discussion in the facilities meeting last night with regard to the $25,000 that we're asking to have reappropriated to our budget. And as you're aware, that was money that had been planned to be spent, and we wanted to do that for in-house labor as the board has requested that we do. There's significant holds on our facilities department because of maintenance at the Wood River base and also other projects that we've done throughout the county for improvement. We have patiently stood in line in working with the county to ensure that we can use our county workforce to accomplish the necessary ADA requirements and repairs to our office. And so we are merely asking that we not be punished by a 50% cut in our requested amount because we chose to do what the board requested of us to do, and that is to use our in-house labor where we can and to work together as a government. And that's what we are trying to do, and we do not want to be sidelined in this. So we would ask that we have our full 100% of that $25,000 that be reappropriated to us.
$25,000. Okay, I hear your point, and again, I'm sympathetic, but last night during the meeting, we talked about what that money was going to use for. I said, if we can spend less than $25K, that's more money can go back to the general fund coffer. How much is this renovation in office furniture?
We don't know yet.
I heard a number last night, roughly $18,000 in furniture. Okay, again, thank you, Ms. Meyer. Again, this is the caveat is ADA. I looked at it as maybe spend a little bit more than just on ADA requirements. That's why I gave some scrutiny to this. I still wanted, and last night in thinking about it, I thought a bunch of this was just for furniture, a bunch of the money for furniture, not ADA. So I thought, you know, I'm going to cut them in half, too. If you need more later to finish the renovation, we can give you more money later. And Mr. Wesley had a good idea last night. Go ahead and give you the $25K, and if you don't spend it all, take it back. Well, I'm of the mind of giving you half of it, and then if you need more, give it to you, whatever you might need. Now, that's just my thoughts. Again, the committee, do you have any more thoughts on this? I know some people want to go with the what everyone asked for, or do we carve out certain things like transportation department, museum, and
Jeremy, IT. can I just say with the recorder's office, I will apologize to you, Ms. Meyer, for not remembering that specific detail. But, yeah, the facilities department's been working very hard, and they have a long list, and their project has been delayed.
All right, Ms. Fassin.
Yes, I think I want to commend you, Chairman, for allowing people to speak and clarify that and adding clarity to what their requests are. And Ms. Meyer, I think, has done a good job with that. I've got a question, and I think you guys have touched on something between you and Ms. Meyer as an explanation as to where these monies are going at when they're transferred over. I've got a question. The personnel administration fund, that the amount requested was $196,228, and I get about 50% of it. Where's it going?
Yeah, Rick. Hey, John, are you here?
Yes.
Do you want to speak to that?
But you were cut How much did you say, John?
$219,000.
And you still got $198,228?
Well, that was an additional cut. We made cuts and then had an additional cut.
Would that be fund a salary by chance?
Yeah, that would be part of that money would be salary as well.
Who would it be?
Right now, we could always make a decision who it is. There's four people in the personnel budget. We were told to find the money, and when we offered a reappropriation, that was given to us as a good option. You know, we don't overspend our money in the personnel budget. We do the best we can to save legal expenses and work, you know, and not to waste money. And so we had a savings there of almost $400,000, so we're looking for half of that.
If I could, last comment from Mr. Chapman, if you can be brief, and then I'd like to get the committee to
vote. I was at the facilities meeting last night, and one of the things that was mentioned, that if good used furniture, of which we have gobs in the county, could be used for that project, we would like it to be used. The other issue I have is reference to museum. Our agreement with the museum is pretty clear. We spend a dollar to maintain that building, and they're supposed to be paying for the salaries, and they are supposed to be paying for the upgrade of that museum. And they are into us for to the tune of $250,000. We are arguing over monies ourselves, whether we can have somebody in the assessor's office, whether we can have somebody in the IT's office, but yet we are paying for what I consider to be non-essential service. Over half the counties in Illinois don't even spend a penny on their museum because it's done through private donations. And we are the one county where four times the amount of the second place county, we spend four times the amount of the second place county on our museum. And over half the counties don't even have it. So, you know, you can spend money on the museum, but other essential services may be suffering. That's my only point.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve the transfers based on based on your recommendations.
Which was 50%, with the exception of transportation.
That we went through.
With the exception of transportation, IT, and the museum. That's the three. If we're going to carve out three, let them have the full amount that they didn't spend at the last fiscal year.
Second.
We have a second by Mr. Goggin. Can we have a vote, Ms. Glasper?
No.
Ms. McCray?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Guy? That was three yeses. I vote yes on four yeses and two noes. The motion passes to approve the resolution of reappropriation of the remaining FY 2018 budget to FY 2019 budget as amended. If there's questions later, Jennifer, with that.
I just wanted to know if you want me to reprint and you sign an amended or just cross out and make the changes on the
resolution. I think since there's so many changes, for clarity, I think if you would please reprint it.
Okay, would you please just go over the ones again
Sure.
that you said? That
on the first page in the middle, information tech admin was 145,170, remained at 100, or that's 58%.
That's okay.
That's okay at that amount. And then on the second page, museums admin for 15,719, that's okay. And then for the next four, highway, bridge, matching tax, and MFT, and the amounts requested by Mr. DeVille.
Okay, and then all others back to 50%. And
the other ones are 50% unless they ask for less than 50% given the amount.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you very much. All right, moving on.
We don't have, if I can, Mr. Chairman, we don't have any refunds.
No refunds. Very good. Moving on to item 10. Monthly budget reports. Any questions on the 2018 monthly budget reports provided?
Moving forward, Mr. Chairman, if I can, the motel tax reconciliation. Okay, we have the motel tax reconciliation fund from May through October 2018. The amount collected was $2,158.56. 5% administration fee of $107.93. The net amount then is $2,050.62. Spent evenly between the Greater Alton Twin Rivers Convention and Visitors Bureau and the Southwestern Illinois Tourism Convention Bureau. That amount is $1,025.32 for each entity, and I move for your approval.
Do you have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Do you have a second?
Second.
We have a second and a motion to approve. Take a vote.
Aye.
Two ayes.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. I myself, all across the board, ayes to approve the motel tax reconciliation. Now, going back, we neglected to vote on the claims and transfer report earlier. We wanted to cover the reappropriating first. Can we go back?
Appropriation.
We didn't vote on the year end either.
I don't think you voted.
Okay, let's start with the claim number six, claims and transfer report. The revised November and December numbers.
Do you want to do the – I would just suggest, do you want to do the capital projects transfer next month and approve everything else?
Up to the committee.
That would be my recommendation, so we could get – we could look at everything after the reappropriations and so forth and give a better answer. It doesn't have to be done right now.
Is there a downside to that? I mean, by waiting, is there a downside or no? If you just want additional time to think about it, it's fine. I don't have a problem, but if there's a downside to doing it.
I mean, are you wanting to wait to revisit what the amount we're transferring, or if you transfer,
I'm just asking,
it just will add to the deficit to the general fund?
Problem? He seems to want to wait till next month. Is there a downside?
Then we could talk about it and make sure everybody's comfortable, and then do it, because I don't think there's a downside. There's not.
No, I mean, there's no time limit that has to be put on it.
Okay.
So we're talking about not voting on the entire claim transfer report sent at this time?
I would just wait on the capital projects fund transfer, which is the $2.5 million, and we can do that next month and then get everything else paid for.
Okay, so next month we're going to have three claim and transfer reports in.
No, I think you mean vote on claims and transfers, just remove the
okay.
one transfer.
Okay.
Yes, that's right. We need to get everything paid, but we'll remove the $2.5 million transfer, and we'll do that next month.
The $2.3 million? 2.5, where am I missing? Clay. Down here, okay. Okay, so that's the only exception, that 2.5 county revenue to capital projects. Okay, with the exception on the December report of 2.5 million from the general fund to the capital projects fund, omit that, and then do I have a motion to approve on the remaining items on these two reports? No, I'm looking at it separately. Do you have a motion to approve claims and transfers with the one omission?
So moved.
We have a motion, and we have a second. Ms. Glasper?
Yes.
Ms. McCray?
Yes.
Mr. Guy?
Yes.
Mr. Goggin? Ballard? Yes. Claims and transfer report for November revised. Decembers are approved with the exception of the $2.5 million amount on the December report, which will be looked at and voted on next month. The next item, the immediate emergency appropriations. We talked about that already. Anybody have any thoughts, any further discussion on that? Or we want to go ahead and take a vote on that. Do I have a motion?
Make a motion.
A motion, have a second?
Second.
Ms. Glasper?
Yes.
Ms. McCray?
Yes.
Mr. Guy?
Yes.
Mr. Goggin?
Yes.
Ms. Pollard?
Yes.
I say yes. The motion passes, all yes. At this point, no refunds. Is the next item then, I guess, is number 12, safety and risk management reports.
Yes, good morning. We have that payment of legal fees for labor relations and tort judgment, liability and workers' compensation programs, the hourly rate change that would be effective January 1st that we presented last month, that we are representing this month.
Any questions from the committee on this? Increase $25 per different categories of special attorneys that we need. We have
a
motion.
To approve.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. Vote, Ms. Glasper. Ms. McCray?
Yes.
Mr. Guy?
Yes.
And I say yes. Motion is approved from risk safety and risk management. Thank you.
Okay. I have nothing further.
The next item, old business.
We did new business.
Oh, you did? Okay. Next item under new business has already been taken care of, I'm told.
I got one.
We have a new business topic. Yes, sir. Wait a minute, Mr. Pollard, did you have something for? Oh, Mr. Goggin.
I just wonder if Doug could talk to facilities about getting some blinds put in.
Yeah.
Sure. There are blinds.
Oh, there are?
We'll get some of the stand up there next time.
I know. And Mr. Fasson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It has been brought to my attention that next Wednesday, before the county board meeting, that the photo will be taken. I assume that my notice was lost in the mail. Is that accurate, or am I included in the photo, or am I dismissed? Mr. Chairman, maybe you can answer that.
Hey, Linda, are we doing a photo at the county board meeting? It's another 2 years, and it's time to show everyone's pretty face and be blessed. We're all here.
All right. Any other new business? Hearing none, could I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.